Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
If you're here with us right now, you're at the right place at the right time. 323-203-0815, because we're live on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. Dr. Pat, how are you today?
I'm just fine today. I'm enjoying. I'm getting ready for classes, and I like that. I'm a Virgo, and you know how we are.
I do.
Picky, picky, picky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, we have a caller on the line. Are you ready to work?
Yes.
Let's do it. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I sure do. I am so excited. Dr. Allen, I never realized you were Virgo, as am I. It's wonderful to connect with you. I have a quick question. I had done a one-on-one session with you a few months ago, and I had negotiated an agreement that seeing me. We got the monogamy piece, the continuity piece, the number of communications, and seeing one another has been. Yeah, but lately he's been flaking on that part of it. So the monogamy.
What does he pay? What's it cost him? Lost time with you? What does it cost him?
Well, he's been out of communication for about 2 weeks, and I follow your tools about, responding to his texts one for one. I'm not quite sure why he's been out of communication, and I guess the second part of my question is, he's also 62, and how does that impact the eight weeks and the responding to texts and all of that?
What is he doing for communication sabotage?
He's been fading out in communication. He has not been consistent to the level of communication that I have asked for.
I've got news for you. A no answer is often done by a non-answer.
Right.
What you're seeing is passive aggressiveness.
Mm-hmm.
When mothers raise their sons to obey and respect them, the price tag is the boy develops skills as a passive aggressive. That's when his feminine goes aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like he's practicing some old skills. There's a wonderful book, and it's called Living with a Passive Aggressive Man by Scott Wetzler, Wetzler.
Okay.
The way to deal with him is whatever he's not doing, what is he not negotiating?
Well, as I said, we negotiated monogamy back in December, which is great. But, back in December, he was communicating a lot more. I like to be, either phone call or texting 3 times a week, seeing you once a week, et cetera. And he's just not been keeping the continuity piece. I'm sorry.
Then maybe he wants to renegotiate for lesser requirements.
Okay.
Are you willing to respect him even when he's not manly enough to say, you know what? That contract that we made, I don't want to obey it anymore. I want to renegotiate it. If I can call you twice a week and see you once a week, will you stay with me?
I would.
Well, what I'm hearing is passive-aggressive skills that he learned at mother's knee are doing the job of getting you to accept his non-agreeable nature, which then leads him to do something else passive-aggressively.
I see.
Will you do that?
Well, I don't want to completely backtrack. I guess I feel a little bit stuck and I'm not sure how to proceed. Do I wait for him to reach back out to me?
I'll tell you the best punishment, the best price tag.
Excellent.
To act like you don't care.
Oh, good.
Always have a plan B with a passive aggressive person. And this is the way you ask him to go to the movies. Honey, I'm going to go see blah, blah, blah. If you want to join me, I'll be at the car at 4. If not, fine.
Okay.
Now, a passive-aggressive man or woman needs you to say that you want him to go.
I see.
So a loving person says, I'm going, and if you want to join me, I'll be here at that time. If not, fine.
I see.
Boy, did that upset them.
Okay. So then in terms of what to do next, obviously I have to wait for him to reach back out, right? Because we're 2 weeks into the 8-week period. And
yes, that's exactly right.
And then
a solid 8 weeks.
And then do we alter anything or do I need to be more aware of anything because he is 62 and he's probably more in his feminine?
You got it. My suggestion is kill him with kindness. Cherish him.
Mm. Oh, gosh. Okay.
It's going to feel like neglect.
If I don't cherish him or if I do cherish him?
If you cherish him by not being mean to him when he passive-aggressively ignores your need to be in contact. See, you're masculine. How old are you?
50.
You are at least perimenopausal. And because of that, you're a bigger, better man than he is right now. But he needs love. And when you don't react to his passive aggressiveness, he feels abused.
Okay.
You want to do that?
Yes. So when he reaches back out, be kind and open and warm.
Act as if he's been doing it just the way you like.
I see. Okay. Dr. Ellen, this is wonderful. I know how to proceed. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome. Read the book, too.
I will. I wrote it down. Thank you so, so much.
Truly.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Okay. Let's see if we've got some more calls coming in.
See, what we teach here is manipulation, which is not gaming.
Right.
Gaminess. You don't know what you're doing. You're intimidating and seducing. But when you're manipulating, like I just taught her, you are doing something that will help both people.
Exactly. I love it. I think we've got another caller on. Caller, are you there?
Hi, yeah.
You're live with Dr. Allen.
Thank you. Okay. I actually have two questions. So I'll ask the first one. And then if we have time, I'll ask the other one. Or I'll just ask most at the beginning and you can just do it whatever way you want. So the first question is, it's been almost 8 weeks since this one guy and I wanted to do a high bye letter, but I can't find anywhere exactly how you're supposed to do that.
Oh, and then the other, goodness. No, yeah. I generally talk it a lot, but I haven't put it in a book I've written. I don't believe so. So I'll talk it again.
Okay. And then the second question is, I know you suggested in your book to spend an hour a day being feminine. And I was just wondering if you have anything.
Being feminine means doing things that your body likes, even if your business brain doesn't.
Right. So, okay, that makes it a little more clear. But, yeah, if you have any specific suggestions of things to do with that hour, I would love to hear
those. It's got to be something. It's got to be a meal. It's got to be, I call it a party. When I'm in the mood for a party, you know what a party is for me? It's to go to a movie I want to see that nobody else probably wants to see because it's a foreign film or something like that, and to eat popcorn and diet caffeine free pop. And I have one job. I work for a nonprofit, Hotel California by the Sea, for addictive people. I get out at 11 o'clock of my class. I go directly to In-N-Out Burger and get a protein wrap double-double and a diet pop.
Okay, so it's, yeah.
Now, I'll tell you
something that you
want to
do for you.
I have had a problem with weight. I once weighed, in 2008, I weighed 205 pounds. I'm only 5'1". I used sugar as a way to placate my painful anxieties about whatever was bugging me. But I have now gotten sober off all forms of sugar, and I have parties that are on my food program, and they feel good. So do you know that your body likes?
Yeah, I mean, I like essential oils, and I like baths and massages and swimming, dancing.
So do you do something every day that your body... See, we women, we need to look forward to pleasure of the body, whether it's making love to a husband or eating a meal that's appropriate and satisfying and gratifying. So men, if they're right-handed especially, they have this smaller corpus callosum, which allows them to focus on one lobe or the other. They're either having a great good party or they're police officers on a, you know, some kind of police work. They can bifurcate. But left-handed man, ambidextrous man, biologically gay man, and all women have larger corpus callosums, and we blend our feelings and our thinking. So I tend to do things that are stoically correct, but my body likes it. Have you got the attitude?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the other question?
The high bye letter.
Oh, the high bye letter. Okay, have you got a paper and a pen, or is this being recorded or what?
Oh, yeah. I have a piece of paper and a pen.
Okay. These are, I'll just say it bibliographically, these things that I teach are part of or extensions from my dissertation for my PhD, which was androgynous semantic realignment. I take the quantum mechanics of words and I manipulate them into negotiable items for human loving and liking and lusting. And I teach them how to use words to create a loving negotiation. So the first paragraph for a high bye letter is when you've been ghosted, when you've been neglected, when you've been dumped, or perhaps you made a mistake and dumped them and you want to go back and make an amends. So it's to build a bridge. That's what it's for. And it's paragraph one, everything you liked, loved, and lusted about this human being, depending on the level of intimacy. The second paragraph is the pain of neglect, the pain of being ghosted, the pain of being dumped, whatever the pain you've got. The third paragraph is what you never want again in a relationship that's shown up in this one. And the fourth paragraph is what you do want in a relationship with another human being, straight, gay, or lesbian, but doesn't matter. My work, energy-wise, physics-wise, works for all forms of sexuality. The fifth paragraph is a thank you. Thank you so much for this very painful lesson that I sought help for, because I now know I will probably handle this issue in another relationship, which is bi. So it's four paragraphs of overview, like diagnosis, and one gratitude note for the lesson you've learned. Remember, we never upgrade laterally. We upgrade step by step up. Laterally is when you don't get the lesson from the last session with the last man, so you have to repeat it over and over again. In order to move up to a higher level of relationship, you have to get the message from the last one that failed. Because if you don't know why it failed, you're going to do it again.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's why, and now I'm going to share with you. That's why premature rejection is not appropriate. Stay till you can't stay. You know what the end of a relationship is? Apathy and empathy, not anger. If you're still angry, you're still in love or hate, whatever you're in. When you are done with the relationship, you are apathetic to boredom and empathetic with agape love for this other human being.
Yeah.
Got it?
I have a logistical question about it. I mean, if you don't have the person's email address, would you just text them this whole long thing?
Do you not have his address at the office? You don't any way to
look it
up.
But
what?
I could. I mean, I know where he works, so I suppose I could mail him something there. But it's not like he ever gave it to me, so it would be a little weird. But I could do it that way.
What's wrong with this?
Okay. Yeah, I could do it that way.
Snail mail. Email, text mail, any form of communication.
Okay.
Just get the message to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Give a caller. Let us know.
Okay, I will.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
That hi-bye thing that I spun off
of. To an automatic voice message system.
I think the hi-bye is therapeutic in so many ways. One of them, and you know, even if you don't ever send it, it's therapeutic
yes,
for self.
It's really good for getting it out on paper or pen or computer.
Yeah, I ritualistically burnt mine. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you? And I didn't know,
hi.
Dr. Allen, you were a fellow Virgo. No wonder I love you guys so much. But I was calling with a question and kind of an update. I finally got to use What you told me, Dr. Allen, about the guy that told me he was separated, told me he was divorced, but he was actually separated.
Right.
He reached out to me. Yeah, he reached out to me almost 2 weeks ago when he saw that I had posted on Instagram that I was moving back to his city. And he inboxed me and said that he hopes that I reach out to him when I get back into his, when I move back to his city. And I responded and I said, I appreciate the text. However, I only talk to men that are 100% single, legally divorced, and available to be in a relationship with me.
Hallelujah, woman.
Thank you. So I took the emotion out, and I so wanted to say more, but I was like, no, your voice was in my head. And I just typed those words and pressed send, and that was the end of it. And he read it because it showed that he read it. But he hasn't said anything. So I guess my question to you
he has 8 weeks to respond.
Of course, that 8 weeks. I guess, and I'm glad I did it. But then at the same token, I thought about it and I was like, would it have been bad for me to have said, you know, I would reach out to you when I get back into town. But considering you and I never had a conversation about you lying to me, I can't just act like nothing happened.
No, that moves it into mothering. He has a right to lie.
Okay. I don't know. I just felt like...
And you have a right to set a price tag.
Okay. So basically, it's nothing else for me to do with this, but just wait to see. Because I just feel like, was that harsh in the sense of like, him being afraid to not reach out to me? Because the first time I confronted him, I hung up the phone on him, and I haven't heard from him since, other than this like texting me, how are you doing, and then this other text that I mentioned. Like, he's afraid to call me now to even have a conversation.
Any connection is a connection, even when they call and don't leave any message at all, as long as you know it's him.
Right, but do you think he's just afraid to actually pick up the phone and call me to have...
Honey, he's respecting your boundaries. I'm not going to relate to a married man.
Right, but this is, I'm saying, before his last text of saying, when you get to my town, to reach out. Before that, it's been almost 2 months since we stopped speaking, and in those 2 months, he couldn't pick up the phone. He just sent me a text saying that he hoped I was doing well.
You flagged him when you left the message that you were moving to his town.
Okay.
You gave him an excuse to call, to reach out to you.
But I didn't send the message to him. I just posted it on social media, and he happens to follow me on social media, so he saw it along with...
He extrapolated it, too, and I'm one of her inner circles. You got the message to him, and he responded, and that's all I care about.
Okay. So it's nothing else for me to do, and it wasn't harsh or mean. Like, I just felt like, okay, what if he... reads that, it's like, okay, I'll never reach out to her and actually apologize or say anything because
look,
she was so emotionless.
When they lie to us, when they cheat on us, when they do things, they think we hate them and want them dead. Because believe me, men get very angry when women do to them what they do to us. I heard by ground, just gossiping, Oprah said, and you know, I was on her show 4 times, so I think I may have gotten the message in. She said today, somewhere, it's time for women to set the standard. And
right.
I felt like sending her my newest book, which is It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe.
Right.
So what I'm saying to you is, you and your man, consciously or unconsciously, are flagging each other that your relationship, even though it was just chemically based, and remember this, men have affairs while they're married, more to be able to stay with their family than get a divorce.
Wow. Interesting. Well, he doesn't have any children with this woman, but I understand.
Oh. Then he's just done with her. I got it. But I've seen so many men who have gotten somebody to love because they wanted to stay with their kids.
Right. I see. Yeah, no, he doesn't have any children with her. They were married for only 2 years before he separated, supposedly. So, but okay, I won't do anything. I'll just wait for 8 weeks to go by and see what happens.
Please do.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Allen. Bye,
Kelly.
Bye.
I want to hear her, so let us know.
Did you hear what I said about Oprah?
I did. Oh, I love it. You know, that's funny because a friend of mine just asked me about that. She's like, isn't Dr. Pat Oprah's guru? And I'm like, Dr. Pat's everybody's guru. Okay, we have another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with the guru, Dr. Pat. What's up?
Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
You all. Okay, so I've been duty dating since about January, and it seems like I keep repeating this same pattern, and I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong, so I'm calling in for clarity, because it seems like a lot of men on social media, on online dating, they just want to text. And I really, you know, want to talk on the phone. And so as we're getting to know one another, like after the first date, the second date, or the third date, like if they'll text me something, I'll just write back, I'll feel better if you would call. And I've noticed that sometimes they disappear after that. So
That's exactly right. I'll tell you why. Talking is as close to intimacy. Remember, a man's soul, the anima, the I Ching part of him, which is not matter, it's energy, but that part of him is so sensitive that he's afraid to talk because talking is connected to his intuitive mind. And his body is afraid that his intuitive mind will say something that will turn us off. So they very often require us to do our texting for more than we can stand. And you very well said, I'm not comfortable texting. Because we have a larger corpus callosum, which mixes our thoughts and feelings together, and we want more intimacy in our communication. But you've told him that you're comfortable with more talking, so now it's up to him to sit out the 8 weeks of fornicating. That is fornicating, isn't it? Yes. No, it's not. It is, he's studying, thinking, and feeling as to whether he wants to do it.
Okay.
And he's saying, I don't want to do it. It's too intimate.
Right. Ruminating.
That's why I did the Freudian slip of using the word fornication.
Yeah, so we're talking about ruminating.
Ruminating. Okay. But wasn't that clever how my subconscious did that one?
Yes, because obviously he's fornicating himself into the situation. Yes, definitely he's ruminating on it. And that's so interesting, Dr. Allen. I love that little Freudian there.
Yeah, right.
So this is the third.
You've done everything I can think of by telling him I would be more comfortable with more phone calls.
Okay.
You've done it.
This isn't some sort of lesson I have to keep repeating. This just means that they're not for me if they don't come back in the 8 weeks.
They might come back, but you've got to give them the 8 weeks.
Okay.
You've been very intimate by telling them what you want. Remember, women get what they want by knowing what they don't want.
Yeah.
You want more intimacy.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, he's safer if he lives in his left lobe and just texts. But he's not being as intimate as he can be for you.
So I'm right in wanting what I want.
You were right in saying I'm not comfortable with only texting.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes me feel better. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
All right, bye.
Bye. I love it. Hey, Dr. Pat, you know what? I have something I want to share with everybody. A couple of groups have called and have requested that you come and give a talk, a very intimate talk for their group.
Good.
We've actually had some families inquire about whether or not you, one moment caller, whether or not you do that kind of a thing. And I wanted to let everybody know.
Yes.
That you're most certainly available for small groups, for people, for family, for friends, for people that want to learn to communicate with each other and to do that. And, you know, I wanted to remind everybody that we also have some classes and seminars coming up. They can find out information about that at One Eye Store, also through Sue at info@drpatallen.com. But the best way to get all that information is to go to www.drpatallen.com and sign up for that newsletter, because we're going to be having sneak peeks at some stuff that's going to be going on that Sue is going to flash offer. So everybody should know that, and definitely contact Sue if you're interested in having a small group situation where Dr. Allen comes and speaks. And remember, most certainly, I get all these emails all the time. Dr. Allen does do phone sessions from 15 minutes to as long as you need, and specialized sessions too. So info@drpatallen.com is where you're going to find out about that. Sorry about that. Had to say it. Had to be said. And caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Also, yes, I do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I have a question. So you've said it many times that we have like an epidemic of people that are inside out, you know, men that are men physically, but not spiritually or emotionally.
That's right. That's right.
And there, same with women.
Called, do you want to know what it's called in therapy? Ego-dystonic.
Yeah.
The mind and the will is serving feelings over doing. Remember, we each have to decide if we want to live a gratifying life of hedonism, feel good to do good, or we want to live a satisfying life doing what's right for ourselves and others. So it's a major decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, how are you on that?
My question, well, I've been, as of 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, I've been with you now for 3 years, and it's been awesome. Things definitely change. It's amazing. I mean, I could say I'd probably call you like every week and thank you. But here's my question. When a person realizes that they're ego dystonic, as I realized 3 years ago, do you think it's easier for women to switch to normal, you know, to being women than or men? Who do you think is harder for?
Well, let me put it this way. Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra, Thomas Jefferson, and 4 out of 5 of the last presidents and vice presidents have been left-handed. What does that say? That says their brain is built like ours, which is they can meld their thoughts and feelings together. The people that are suffering are right-handed men that are attempting to organize the world the way they think it's supposed to be, no matter what we feel like. But people aren't putting up with that. So I'm afraid we're going to have to do some work on whether we are feel good to do good or do good to feel good people. Are we hedonists or are we stoics? I think hedonism is running rampant in our culture. That may be said of the world. Stoicism is doing what's right.
So for a female, a stoicism would be, like you say, saying no to anything that, to everything that's making her feel badly, right?
You got it.
And I
really love it that women are saying, I didn't know that casual sex was not feminine. I said, no, casual sex is not feminine. You know, way back in the Neanderthal era, women died like flies of pregnancies and birth.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have nice obstetricians and gynecologists that save our life from nature's retaliation to casual sex. There is no casual sex in nature. It's all life and death.
Mm-hmm. But do you think, so for example, if a person, you know, a woman realizes like, oh, I'm being very, very masculine, I'm just going to go to feeling good. Is it easier than men realizing, oh, I'm way too feminine, I actually need to do stuff? And who do you think it's more stressful for, to switch to your normal,
state? The truth of the matter is, a rich man who's a hedonist can have anything he wants. And that's what the whole, you understand, if you know the Me Too movement and all the men misusing women and whatever, all of that is based on the concept that if a woman is a free sex partner, you see, and a man uses her, it's her fault.
Mm-hmm.
When the truth of the matter is it's both of their faults, and they're both going to pay for it, as we are well aware of now. I'm afraid... Mm-hmm. Marcus Aurelius is right, and I'd love it if you'd all read the book, The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, edited by Forstater. It's haiku poetry in English that is based on stoicism. That's what I'm doing, is stoic training.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, got it. Uh-huh.
What did you get?
Well, I think it may be just in life in general, it may be easier for men to still be women as long as they have money, because they can marry still. But for women, because I was just thinking, like, who is it harder for mentally? Because for me, like, for example, when I first started doing your desensitization to pleasure, because I'm also a pain addict, and doing pleasurable things for an hour a day, it felt very uncomfortable. Like, oh, what is this? I'm wasting my time. I don't understand. But then months later, it started to feel more natural, and now it feels fine. And I was thinking, like, okay, so I have to relax it. It makes me feel strange. But what about men that now actually have to get up and do things that they haven't done before, you know, make decisions, conquer, control? What's the third one?
Do you know that
compete?
Men need to have a loving woman in their life more than we need a loving man? As they become more feminine in their andropause process, they need to be loved. And that's the over 50 relationship, if you want to look at it. It's on my website. You can see it. The point is, there are lots of jobs for old queens. We babysit, we take care of the sick, we make food. One king to a village is about all you need. And that shows up in our reality with there are 15 women for every older man.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's a big difference.
Yeah, truly. I think we'll all be happy if we start living more stoically.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I'm happier. And I have much better results since I started practicing it. Thanks. Okay, I think I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Good.
Awesome. Thank you. I think that is our caller who has been to many of your seminars, Dr. Allen.
You what?
That is our caller, that our last caller is our caller that's been to many of your seminars.
Oh, good.
Awesome. Hey, we have another caller.
You have an ear for sound.
I do. That's from my old days as a television editor. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes, always. what I was wondering about today was, like, so I'm an alpha, and I have a business. Actually, I have a couple businesses, and
are you a career woman or a woman with a career?
Well, I'm a woman with a career. That's what I want to be. But at times, I'm also a single mother, so it makes it hard for me. Like, I really try to, I mean, I have to support my son, you know, and really have to, you know, run my business during the day, and I do take.
Mean you don't have time to date a man once a week?
I can do once a week. Yeah, it's hard for me to duty date and also to practice flirting because I have my son with me a lot of the time. So I'm just trying to figure out, and I don't like the online dating because I've done that a lot and it just seems to go nowhere.
Then why
and I don't
meet
anybody
go dancing?
I do that. There's not, honestly, where I live, there's not a lot of places to go dancing. And then I run into, like, my business brain. Like, I'm always, like, prospecting people. Like, I prospect for my business a lot. So it's, like, sometimes when I get those wires crossed, like, in, you know, when a guy is talking to me and I think they're interested. But so I don't know if you can offer any assistance with navigating, like, that situation.
Well, then, you plan on being married emotionally to your son for the rest of his life?
No, I definitely don't want to do that, you know.
How old
you know,
is
and I don't
now?
Have more kids either, though. So, like,
how
if I was to be with a man, I wouldn't want to have...
How old is he?
He's 12. Well, he's almost 13.
He's what? 12?
13, basically.
Once they hit 10, you need to start weaning them away.
Yes. Yeah, I'm working
that
on that.
Might be
so, like,
once, maybe Friday night or something. Do you like to dance?
Yes, I do.
And would you go to a class and then go with the class to a dance hall after the class?
Yeah, there's just not, like, very many places around here to do that other than bars, and I don't drink because I'm recovering from addiction now, so.
I appreciate that. You don't have to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You can
so
drink,
like,
non-alcoholic. What?
Yeah. There is one bar that has a dance floor, but it's, like, you know, it's not very nice. I don't like to go there that much anymore. So, I mean...
What city do you live in?
I live in Montana.
Okay. Is it a city big enough to have some dance classes for you to attend, to get involved?
No, I mean, and I just, you know, I am involved in my community, but, like, a lot of it's through my business, like for my business. So
darling,
I need a lot of
do you play tennis? Do you swim? Do you do anything
yeah, I mean,
with
I
your
do,
body
I,
except
going to rock climbing gym?
Business.
So, yeah,
rock
I feel like
climbing
I'm always like,
is not my idea of a dating source for that would be, you know, would what I'm saying, what activity does your body like? Do you like to play bridge? Is there anything that you do that makes you smile?
Yeah, I mean, like,
what?
I do. I like yoga and I
yoga
don't know. I guess I
is
have
not a meeting place.
Right. That's what I'm saying is a lot of things I do aren't meeting places. So I'm having trouble coming up with. And, you know, I have the Meetup app, but there's nothing on there for people like me. And then I have a son, so it's hard for me to go out and just do stuff.
Do you know that there is a service that is a mingle? It's called My Social Calendar. Have you seen it advertised?
I've looked for that because you would. I've heard you recommend it, but like,
and did you
I
find it? Was it not in your state?
Yeah, they don't have it in my state.
Okay,
I have a state that's very limited.
Do
for
they have
stuff.
Mingles? Would you bike, hike, ski, bridge, bowl? What does your body like to do that makes you smile if you went there? Because what I'm hearing is you're running the risk of not showing your son what you can do as a human being demonstrating living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I mean, I want to show him.
Then, do you play golf?
No.
Tennis?
No. I'll have to think about that some more.
Bowling. Well, you're in Montana. Do you horseback ride?
Well, I live in a city where it's there's no place to do that.
Okay, so here's a question. Are you on Facebook?
Yes.
They have special groups on there, probably in your area, for people who are single parents that not only support each other, but also interact because they understand that single parenthood is not only difficult, but it's, you know, about, you know, blending families and stuff. So if your goal is a long-term monogamous relationship, you might look into some place like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
are you willing to find something to do for at least an hour a week that will help you and your son spread your wings so that you can live apart in your own separate worlds?
Yes.
At least a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay. Yes.
But we hope you'll tell us what you've decided and what you find. Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What have you got to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
And that includes with yourself. So
yes.
We love all of you. We're so glad you were with us tonight. Remember, Dr. Allen does special groups. Contact Sue at info@drpatallen.com. We've got upcoming seminars. Go to oneistore.com, sign up for that newsletter, www.drpatallen.com. We're gone. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.